Chapter 13, it's a mighty chapter and it will take time this evening. I want to underline that phrase in verse 18 as I begin this evening. It is the number of a man. I want to establish this tonight, that the beast in Revelation chapter 13, the beast that John saw rising up out of the sea, I want to get this straightened out right away. I want to say this is a man. We must get this correct. This is not some social machine. There are expositors who do not believe that this is a person. They do not believe that this is an actual sinner. They think this is a system. Well, I want you to get it absolutely clear and plain and dead on right at the commencement that we're not looking at some social machine or some political system or even some ecclesiastical system. We are looking at a person, a man. This is a man. And the details at the end very clearly tell us this is the number of a man. I think I can make it absolutely clear to you. It says about this beast in verse 4, it's saying of the world. We'll read verse 3. I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? And I'm only hitting the word him there. You see, this is a man. This is a great personality who is coming to our world in the not too far distant future. A man, a personality. Verse 5, I think, makes it clear. And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now, I want you to get three words in your mind. I want you to get the man, the word man, and I want you to get the word mouth, and I want you to get the word months. And I want you to join the three of them together. There is a man, and he's got a mouth, and he's going to continue for 42 months. Now, having that in your mind, let me turn your way back to the book of Daniel, and at the 7th chapter, please. Daniel, and we're at chapter 7. I shall have to read a verse or two here to get the connections, but it will be well worth it in the end, and that you'll see. Daniel chapter 7, verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion. I want you to mark that. The first one was like a lion. Mark it in your mind. Verse 5. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear. And I want you to mark that the second was like a bear. And then, verse 6, and after this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard. I want you to mark these. The first one like a lion, and the second one like a bear, and the third one like a leopard. And then, verse 7, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking greatly. And then Daniel goes on to tell a little bit more of this dream. And then there came one to interpret the dream for him. And here's how the interpretation came. Look at verse 15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are 4, are 4 kings, which shall arise out of the earth. Now that's tremendous, that these are 4 kings. And if I had the time tonight, I could easily do this for you. The first one, the lion, was the king of Babylon. Everybody knows that here, so I needn't take time to do that. And the second one, the bear, was the first king of Medo-Persia. And the third one was the king of Greece, Alexander. And the fourth one is the first Roman emperor. And so we've got 4 Gentile world powers, and we're looking at the kings, the 4 kings. But I want you to notice this. It says in verse 23, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the 4th kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. That is 3.5. Time and times. 1 and 2 make 3. And the dividing of time. 3.5, of course, is 42 months. 3, 12, 36, and 6 is 42. So that we're seeing a man, a king, who has got a mouth speaking great things against God. And he's continuing 42 months. So what I'm concluding is that the little horn of Daniel chapter 7 and the beast of Revelation 13 is the same man, the same mouth, and he's in the very same period, in the same months. So we've got the man. Daniel saw him long before John. The same person. Now, let's look again at this. Go back to Revelation 13. I want to establish this very clearly before I go on. Now, I want you to notice this beast, whom I say is a man, who has a mouth, and who continues for 42 months, and who therefore is the little horn of Daniel chapter 7. I want you to notice this, verse 2, but we'll do it properly when we get there. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power. Because you know who the dragon is. Last week in chapter 12, verse 9, this was brought out very clearly. Verse 9 of chapter 12, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Now, the Holy Ghost could not have put more details in for us. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Now, it does say in this verse, verse 2 of 13, that the dragon gave the beast his power. So that this is a man with a mouth who will continue for 42 months, and he'll be energized by the might of the devil. So I want you to put four words together now. Man, mouth, month, might. I want you to see that he's got the might of the devil. Now, when you've got that in your mind, let's go back again to 2 Thessalonians this time, and the second chapter. 2 Thessalonians, and at the second chapter, and to get the proper connection, we'll read from verse 1 again. Now we beseech you, brethren, and he's writing to the saints, of course, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. This is the point that Paul makes his plea from. It says Christ is coming and we're gathering unto him. And I'm pleading to you from these points. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or betroubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. And I think it should be as that the day of the Lord is at hand. Somebody had written to these believers and said that the resurrection was past and all the rest of it. But he says, now let me appeal to you. Christ will come first and we'll gather to him. And don't let anybody deceive. Then he says in verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. That is, that day of the Lord shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now hindereth will hinder, the wording should be, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked, capital W there, it should be, then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs, lying wonders. Now here's the man of sin here. Here's the wicked one that's yet to come. And here he is, energized by the power of the devil. So I'm concluding again. That the little horn of Daniel chapter 7, the beast of Revelation chapter 13, the man of sin, the wicked one, of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, are all one and the same person. So this is the man we're looking at tonight. We're looking at the little horn of Daniel chapter 7, the beast of Revelation chapter 13, and the man of sin, the coming wicked one, who shall be destroyed when Christ comes to earth. So this is a person, all right. That's all that I'm trying to establish. This is a man, not a system, not a social machine, a wicked personality energized by the devil, the man of sin. lay the emphasis on the man, please. The man who said. So we've got that tidied up, I hope. Because there are great arguments there. Whether this is a system or some sort of social machine, but without a doubt it's a man, and we'll see that as we go through. Now we're ready to commence now. We're not even started yet, but we're getting started now. Now we're at Revelation 13, and we want to see some descriptions of the beast, or the description. Verse 1, John says, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. There are some problems about the word sea here. They don't give me any problems at all. Have a look at Revelation 17 for a moment. We shall get there one day, I trust, in the will of God. See verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. The word waters. Now look at verse 15. Chapter 17, verse 15. And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peopled and multitudes and nations and tongues. So there's no trouble about the interpretation there. The waters are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And I believe it's the same with the word sea here. It's just the multitudes and the peoples and nations and tongues. And John is standing, gazing at these multitudes. And he's seeing one rise up out of them. This man, the beast. And we're back at chapter 13 and verse 1. Having seven heads. This personality that's going to arise out of the nations is going to be very wise. Because seven is the perfect number, and heads speak to us of wisdom. So that he's going to get great wisdom. The old devil, you know, was created perfectly wise. And down through the years, some of that wisdom has been used very subtly against God and his church. And so this man will have power from the devil, and it will make him very cunning. He'll be wise. There are not only seven heads here, but there are 10 horns. Mind you, this is power. And it's really mighty power. And upon his horns, 10 crowns. There is not only subtlety here, but there is majesty here. And I believe, whether you'll accept it or not, that the 10 crowns that we're looking at here would comprise the common market when it's finished. You know, I believe that de Gaulle has been used of God to keep Britain out. Well, maybe he does it stupidly, so it seems. But I believe that God used de Gaulle and has kept Britain out of it. Why, God is giving this world a little breathing space. But one of these days, they're going to get in. And the common market will be formed. There will be the 10 horns of Daniel's image. There will be the 10 toes. The common market. And out of that common market will one arise. A man. The man. Of sin. So that there are great details in this old book, if you just take your time with them. You'll notice that upon his head the name of blasphemy. Yes, he'll be the devil's man, the wicked one. You'll notice this again in verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, And his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And I tried to get you to remember those first beasts in Daniel 7. First one was a lion. Second one was a bear. Third one was a leopard. And these were the great Gentile kingdoms before Rome took to ruling the whole world. And of course the Roman Empire embraced all the majesty of Babylon, the lion, and embraced all the ferocity of the bear, Medo-Persia, and embraced all the grace and glory of Greece, the leopard. And this man who is going to arise will be the universal ruler over the whole 10 kingdoms and embrace again the entire Roman Empire. Oh yes, he's not only a satanical ruler, because Satan will give him power, but he will be universal. And that's something we've got to see this evening. But let's look down at the end of the chapter just for a moment. It's talking about the false prophet here, or the second beast. Verse 16. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. You see, he's not only going to be a satanical ruler and a universal one, but he's going to be a commercial ruler. He's going to take over the commerce. And in this entire sphere of his, you can't buy or sell, whether you're rich or poor, bond or free. You can't buy or sell except you've got the mark of the beast. So he's really taken the reins of rulership into his hands, isn't he? Over the whole dominion, where the lion was, and where the bear was, and where the leopard was. And then he's taken commerce into his hands. But you know, the bit that really matters, he's not only a universal, satanical, commercial ruler, but he's going to be an ecclesiastical ruler, because he'll only have the one religion and he'll make them bow at his feet. Watch what it says down here. It says verse 13, verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world, mark the phrase, wondered after the beast. Now watch this bit. And they worshipped. It's a terrible word, isn't it? Worship the devil, the word is, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast. They really worshipped the beast. You see, verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. That's ecclesiastical rulership. I tell you, that's some power. So that we are seeing the descriptions of the beast. Yes, universal, commercial, ecclesiastical rulership this man has. I want you to get that into your mind. That's tremendous. What a person this will be in our poor old world in the day to come. Now, after looking at the description of the beast, let's look at the portion of the beast. We're at verse 2. And we're at the end of the verse. And the dragon gave him his power. Mind you, this is something, you know. I'm sure that we're all absolutely in agreement this evening that the devil has mighty power. I know he's not almighty, but remember, he's got mighty power. He's a powerful being. And you know, he calls himself the God of this world. And all the world lieth in the lap of the evil one. So he is a mighty being. Mind you, every worldly system is controlled by him. That goes for the medical system, and the educational system, and the commercial system, and the religious system without Christ. All in the hands of the devil. Might it be? And at last he's found a man who's prepared to be energized and moved and controlled and filled continually by the devil. And he said, I'll give you my power. Well, that's where this fellow got the power from. You know, when the devil took the Lord Jesus up into a high mountain yonder in Matthew chapter 4, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. That's the word. All the kingdoms. And the power and the glory of them. The kingdom, the power, the glory. He turned around, he said, all these will I give you if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And the Lord didn't say that he couldn't give them either. No, the Lord wasn't taking them like that, you know. He was going to take them through the cross. And at the cross he would stamp on the serpent's head. And he would rise to take the kingdoms of this world. And praise God, one day he'll do it. But we're seeing the power. All these, the kingdom, the power, the glory, will I give you. And so here's a man who's prepared to sell himself hand and foot, body, soul, and spirit to the devil, and he's possessed by his power. And it doesn't only say that the devil gave him his power, but it says he gave him his seat. And the word seat there would be better translated throne. Gave him his throne. You know, the devil has a mighty kingdom, the kingdom of darkness. He's the God of this world. He's the God of the kingdom of darkness. And all these mighty principalities and powers, and all these hosts and hordes of fallen angels, they're all in the army and service and subjects of the devil. And there he reigns over all. And he's going to give this fella his throne. I'll give you my power and I'll give you my throne. You know, you would really think that he was trying to ape Christ with this fella. Because when Christ came here, God filled Christ with his power. And God said, I'll give you the throne. And Christ spake with authority. The very authority of God. And the old devil says to this fella, I'll give you my power, I'll give you my throne, and I'll give you my authority. You see, this man that we're looking at is really the Antichrist. And it's as simple as ABC. The man of sin, the wicked one, the little horn of Daniel, the beast of Revelation, it's the Antichrist. And it's the devil that makes him the Antichrist. Yes, now we're beginning to get a wee bit of light. But we've got a long way to go. Now, I want you to watch this. This is a very difficult bit, and there are many problems here that perhaps I'll leave unanswered, but I'll do my best with it. Verse 3, we're looking at the assassination of the beast. John said, and I saw one of his heads, as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, And all the world wondered after the beast. Now, down the chapter a little bit, when the second beast here, who is the false prophet, and I'll prove that after a moment or two, when he's talking about him in verse 12, he that is the second beast exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And then in verse 14, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles, and that's a mighty word, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And this is a mighty thing. One wonders, is the devil not only trying to ape the life of Christ by giving this man power and the throne and authority, but is he trying to ape the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ? Now the argument and the problem is it only an imitation of the faith? Or was he really slain and rose again? Now I believe that it's only an imitation. Now I know that that leaves me problems, and I'll face them. You see, what I'm really underlining here is this. Have a look at it again. Verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as it were. Hear that, wee bit. As it were. It just looked like as if. That's the actual wording. It just looked like as if. I believe that the devil is imitating Christ's death here. But it's a bluff, and it bluffs the world. You know, I believe in those days the world will be compelled to come at a certain hour to worship, and you'll have to worship by the television. And the eyes of all the world at a certain peak period will be on the beast. And while the whole world looks on, an assassin, so-called assassin, will come and strike him down with a sword. Ah, but it'll be bluff. But it'll look the thing all right. And he'll die. And then after a while he'll get up again. And my, won't that set the world wondering. So the devil is really clever, isn't he? He's putting a man on this earth. And he's giving him power like God gave Christ power. He's giving him a throne like God promised Christ the throne. He's giving him authority like God gave to Christ, for Christ spake with authority. And he's going to imitate Christ's death and maybe the burial and the resurrection. So that it'll be well done, won't it? Now, let me fish the problems now. When we go to chapter 17, there's a terrible ugly one here. Verse 8. When we come to Revelation chapter 17, verse 8, it says, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is. And many of the scholars, they don't believe that this is an imitation at all. They think it's the real thing. because it does say that the beast was and is not and yet is. And it does say that he was and goes into the bottomless pit and then gets out again. I tell you, that'll tighten you up a wee bit, doesn't it? Now, I'm not going on to expound Revelation 17 tonight because you wouldn't be out till the morning, you know. But I'm just letting you know that I see the problems ahead. But I'll tell you tonight that this that we're looking at in Revelation chapter 13, I believe it's only an imitation. It's something that's being put over on the people. I don't believe the devil ever had the power to give life from the dead. Only Jesus can call folk out of death unto life. But I'll tackle the problem when I come to it, and it's not so difficult as you think at this moment. Indeed it, sir. But I'm just letting our remembration 17 as I don't, you know. Believe, imitation, delusion. That would take you to the... You know, we're living in a day when things like this are even being practiced in America. Now, I don't want to get into the line of healing tonight or say anything for it or against it. I only want to help the saints. But I tell you that you'll have to be careful with all the healing meetings you ever go to. Because in America at this very moment, things like these are being practiced. You see, supposing they're having a great healing campaign in New York. Well, they publish it and they get thousands there. Well, here's what has been done, and I've got the facts at home. They take an airplane from New York and they sail it down to California. That just happens to be 3,000 miles from New York. That's just exactly as far from New York as Lurgan is from New York. The exact same mileage, 3,000 either way. So that California, get it into your mind, is not next door to New York, it's 3,000 miles away. And they sail a plane down to California, go into one of the wee trams, and look for all the tramps, and the boys out of work. Say, now look, I'll give you 50 quid if you come up in the plane and pretend to be a blind man. So they just fill them into the plane. And if you're in the great auditorium, and there's a blind man staggers up, fella leads him, he's got a white stick, he can hardly get up the steps, and the man speaks to him and says, in the name of Jesus Christ, I give you sight, he drops the stick and waves his hand and walks out, what are you going to say? You're bluffed, but you don't know it. So you've got to watch the devil, you know. The devil will always be the devil. Did you see the word that we looked at in chapter 12? The deceiver of the whole world. Now don't go out and say that I said every healing meeting was like that. I believe that God can heal you. I believe that God can heal miraculously. I believe that God can heal medically. I believe that God can heal surgically. And I also know that God can do without healing. And you die. But let's be careful, you know, the devil's the devil, isn't he? It has happened in New York dozens of times. People have been brought in on a stretcher, got up and walked out. Men came in on crutches. They got 50 quid for doing it. But you or I, if I was sitting in the audience, what would I do? I could only say that I saw a blind man healed. What could I do about it? I wouldn't know. So we need to be careful, that's all. Very careful, that's all I'm saying. The devil's really cunning, you know. So I believe that this is an imitation. Now, I want you to get the hold of this. That when this beast gets this power and puts this bluff over to the world, then there ariseth another beast here. I want you to get this. See verse 11, let's get on down to verse 11. And I beheld, saith John, another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. He was very deceptive. He looked like a lamb. And it saith, he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the beast. Now I'm wondering again, is the devil trying to imitate the Holy Ghost at work in this age? You see, the work of the Holy Ghost is to attract people to Christ. He's continually drawing men and women to Christ. So that if I'm right in all my deductions, we have before us tonight a satanic trinity. Oh, the devil's trying to eat God, that's the thing. He wants to be the anti-God. He has the man of sin, the antichrist. He has this other one who looks like a lamb, the anti-spirit. So that he's the triune God. Oh, what a devil we work with. What a devil we work with. It's a mighty thing, isn't it? It's tearing you in the face. Powerful. I tell you, friends, we've got a subtle old foe. And all of us would need to keep near to the Lord. Every one of us. Because he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I tell you, and I've told you, and I'll tell you again, every man that takes Christ to the world is in danger of being devoured. He is, you know. You couldn't drum it into the saints. Man, some of them sit in the middle of the night and let the devil use their hands to write letters. But they haven't got the guts to put their name on. The devil! My dear friends, don't do the devil's work! Who are this class? You think it's the devil that gathered it? I wish you would wake up. I wish you'd get on your knees and pray! For the man of God, instead of working in the dark against them. Ah, yes, they're in danger. And what a foe we have. What a subtle, diabolical, satanical foe we are. But when we think of Christ above us, and the Holy Ghost within us, and the blood that ever pleads for us, praise God, we can be more than conquerors through him that loved us. But let's get this bit light tidied out just a little bit more. I want you to see this second beast. I said that this is the false prophet. Just like the Holy Ghost is really speaking for Christ, this man is speaking for the Antichrist, but he's false. You remember in Revelation 19, let's get a hold of that. Revelation 19, this is where we see the end of the beast. Great battle here when we come to it. Verse 19, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken. And with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped the image. These both were cast alive. That's why I know they're two men. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire. You don't cast systems into the lake of fire, you know. These are two men. The first one is the Antichrist. The second one is the false prophet. You can see that he's a very deceptive person because he looked like a lamb. And you can see that he's a very persuasive person, because he causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. And then you can see he's a very demonstrative person. Oh, he demonstrates what he does. Watch verse 13. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles. So you don't need to always be jumping on your feet and shouting hallelujah when there's miracles mentioned. Because in the day to come, you know, the devil will perform miracles. We need to be careful. The word miracles are just right here before you. Ah, but they're done by the power of the devil. Sure, that's what we saw in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that this wicked one, he shall deceive with all power and lying wonders. Lying wonders. They're lies. But they're really wonders. So he's a very demonstrative person. Verse 15, and he had power to give, and the word there should be breath, not life. The old Greek word has been translated everywhere, breath. He had power to give breath unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would worship the image of the beast should be killed. And then, of course, he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their foreheads and their right hands, that no man might buy or sell. You see, he's conscripting everybody. So here he is, working hard, powerful laborer. Yes, very deceptive, very persuasive, very demonstrative, very conscriptive. He gets the whole world in. And so there we are. We've got through it not so bad. We haven't started the counting business yet, have we? So let's have a go at the counting now. That's what I ask you to do. Now, I really believe that the word count really means what it says. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count. Well, there are certain things you can count. You can count time, can't you? Yes. And I believe the six has to do, first of all, with the count of time. You know, from Adam right down to Abraham, we've got 2,000 years. And then from Abraham to Christ, we've got 2,000. And then from Christ to the Antichrist, we've got 2,000, and two and two and two make six. And when the year 6,000 has come, I believe he'll appear. And mind you, we're not far from it now. 2,000 from Adam to Abraham is over. 2,000 from Abraham to Christ is over, and we're counting at 1963. We're not far from it. But you see, there were a lot of years lost in between. And the old Jewish calendar, as far as I remember now, and I'm quoting from memory here, I didn't get time to look at today, I think it's 1996. And there might be a year or two lost in between the two testaments too. And I think there are. So that we're on the very verge of the first six. 6,000. We're counting. Did you do any counting this week? Now, you can't only count time, but you can count tribes, can't you? There are 12 of them. And in the book of Genesis, at the end of the chapters, at the end of the book of Genesis, old Jacob began to tell the tribes what would happen to them in the last days. Let's have a look at that. Genesis 49. book of Genesis chapter 49 and Jacob is old, he's actually dying. And he said this in verse 1, and Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear ye sons of Jacob and hearken unto Israel your father. Then he begins to name the tribes. And actually he names 13. But of course one of them was not to be numbered among the tribes, which was Levi. And he finishes with Benjamin, away down at verse 27. Now if we go backwards, and we count Benjamin, verse 27, as one, and we count verse 22, Joseph, as two, verse 21, Naphtali, as three, verse 20, Asher, as four, verse 19, God is 5. When we come to verse 16, we get Dan at 6. And you know, it was very wonderful that when the 12,000 out of the 12 tribes of Israel were sealed in the book of the Revelation, Dan was left out. Remember, I told you Dan was left out. There wasn't one soul out of the tribe of Dan sealed. There were 12,000 of every tribe. They got 12 again. And they got 12, 144,000, but not one from Dan. And it makes us ask questions. Why? And I believe the answer is on the page. Watch what it says. Verse 16. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent. Oh, that's an awful word to use for anybody. Wonder am I counting this right? When the 6,000 comes, will the man that rises out of the nations be from the tribe of Dan? I believe he will. I'm positively sure of that. And I think I could take another hour and prove it too. But I'm only counting. That's all. And if you count them forward now, they go down 6 again and you're back at Dan. I tell you, friends, this is a mighty thing. This is Dan. But let's do a little bit more of this counting. Let's come over to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And you remember the day that little David, the shepherd boy, came to meet Goliath. It's an old story. We learned it in the Sunday school, praise God. 1 Samuel 17, verse 4. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. The span is 6 inches. And if you like to count the pieces of his mail and brass and helmet and all that covered him, there are 6 pieces. Helmet of brass. And then it says he had greaves of brass. He was armed with a coat of mail. The helmet and then the coat of mail. And then the greaves of brass upon his legs, and then a target, brass, between his shoulders. Then the staff of his spear, and then one went before him bearing a shield. There's 6 parts here. Now, let's go from there to the book of Daniel chapter 2, just quickly. The old time's just edging in on me. Daniel chapter 2, chapter 3. This is where the 3 Hebrew children were thrown into the fiery furnace. Look at verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits. 60. And the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Jura in the province of Babylon, and of course he asked everybody to bow down. You know what I'm wondering, as I count? I'm wondering, when we get to this period, the 6,000, and we're almost there, will a man arise out of the nations who belongs to the tribe of Dan, and will he set up an image and ask the whole world to fall down and worship it and defy the living God? Am I getting near it? Am I getting desperately close? I think I am. Friends, what a book we have in our hands. Isn't anything like it in the library, you know. It's a mighty, gigantic, wonderful, inspired, unchanging revelation from God. But here's the fact. If we are so near to the revealing of the Antichrist, the man of sin who'll come from Dan and set up an image and ask the whole world to fall down and worship and defy the living God like Goliath. Friends, it's time we were on our knees for our friends. Let's stop fighting. Let's stop quibbling about little things that don't matter. Let's really get down on our knees and cry to God. Remember, your friends are perishing. One of these nights, as sure as I'm on this platform, and this is the thing that keeps me going on, Jesus will come. Jesus will come. Yes, as sure as you're here, dear, Jesus will come. Jesus will come. There's a bit in that chapter that I passed by, and I don't want to pass by it. Let's go back to Revelation 13. You know, there's a little bit in the middle, and you'd really wonder what it's there for. Do you see verses 9 and 10? Revelation 13. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. You know, I believe that that is put in there for the saints that will live in that day. And I believe that when the church is taken and these other saints are left, the tribulation saints, I believe they will learn from God's word not to lift the sword, because the Antichrist will slay them with the sword. I believe what they need when the storm is howling is patience and faith. And if they need it, we need it. And the thing that will take any one of you through any storm that will ever come on you is patience and faith. Many times this verse has been a blessing to me. When the storm howls, I always say you just need patience and faith. God bless you.